This is Faith in Action, the program that looks at how people put their faith into action in their everyday lives. Faith in Action is a production of Catholic Radio Indy. Now here's today's program. This is Faith in Action on Catholic Radio. I'm Jim Ganley, and our co-host is Bridget Eyre.
Yes.
And I am getting used to saying that.
Yeah.
I really am. Bridget was one of our original hosts or hostesses probably 13, 14 years ago when we were in the pyramids, and then has been on a little hiatus for a while, like 10 years or so.
Yeah.
And we're glad to have her back with us. So Bridget, and Bridget just admitted here that she just signed up for Amazon Smile.
Yeah.
You haven't done that yet. It's so easy. You can just Google Amazon Smile or use Yahoo, whatever you want to get to Amazon Smile. And when you go there, they're going to ask you a simple question. What charity do you want to support? And Catholic Radio Indy is listed there. If you just start to type it in, it's even going to fill in the rest of it for you. And once you do that, Catholic Radio gets a percentage of everything you buy on Amazon forever.
Yeah.
And if you forget and go to regular Amazon, by the time you get to checkout, your computer's going to say, whoops, did you mean to do that on Amazon Smile? It actually, if you're using the same computer you registered on, it reminds you that you intended to support Catholic Radio. So check that out. Amazon Smile. You can Google it, or you can go to our website, CatholicRadioIndy.org, and you'll see a little link on the right-hand side of the page there. And Bridget, we expect you to do some serious spending.
Oh, right? Yeah, and you know what? The funny thing is I was expecting it to be really difficult, and it was super easy. Honestly, it took me less than 30 seconds, which is amazing for me to do anything IT under 30 seconds. So that's kind of really what happened. It really was fast, so easy.
I want to share a little story here that has a great, great local connection. Mary Ann Barathy is the she's in the development department over at Little Sisters of the Poor, the St. Augustine home.
Mm-hmm.
She'd been there for 19 years, and she was having a meeting recently, and they were talking about their annual Hats Off to Spring luncheon and style show that's coming up, and they were just discussing what their needs were and things like that. And one of the people there said that, well, they needed new bedding. Of course, they always need that, and blankets and pillows and that sort of thing. And Mary Ann got the idea, you know, you see Mike Lindell on TV all the time with My Pillow.
Yeah, yeah.
And so she contacted Mike and said, hey, we have this organization here, and they need some pillows. They don't have any money. They just need pillows.
Uh-huh.
And Mike Lindell sent them 115 pillows, My Pillows.
Oh, wow.
And that's enough for all the residents there and the nuns themselves.
Yeah, my son's always saying he wants a My Pillow. He wants a My Pillow. I might have to get in on one of those. I might have to get in touch with him and get a My Pillow.
And I just wanted to pass that along. That's really an interesting little story of something that happened locally there. So every time you see Mike on TV, and
yeah,
instead of that annoying guy that's pushing pillows, you can think, he's that nice guy that sent some pillows to the Little Sisters.
Yeah, he always wears a crucifix, too. I don't know if you've ever noticed that.
He does. He always does. In fact, those pillows are made. My wife comes from a small town, Shakopee, Minnesota. It's a little town 20 miles outside of Minneapolis, Minnesota. That's where My Pillows are made. Shakopee, Minnesota.
I didn't know that.
I didn't either, because he always talks about right here in my hometown, you know, and you kind of you get the idea Midwest, but they're made in Shakopee, Minnesota. And speaking of Mike Lindell, we have another Mike that we want to talk to.
We do. We have a local celebrity. I look onto him as a local celebrity just because I've known Mike a long time. I'm here with Mike Murphy, and he is from St. Mary's Parish, downtown Indianapolis, but he's here to talk about the 100-year anniversary of Fatima and his pilgrimage that he took to Fatima. Welcome to Faith in Action, Mike.
Thank you, Bridget. Thank you. Thanks, Jim.
And Mike is kind of a celebrity, if you've heard of his name before, Mike Murphy. Tell us a little bit about yourself. You've done many things. You were a lawmaker, a state lawmaker for a long time.
Yeah, I've probably done too many things. My career has been, I always say my career is like a pinball in a pinball machine. You just bounce around, and eventually maybe you score once in a while, you know? No, you're right. I was in the state legislature for 16 years representing Perry and Franklin and Warren Townships. And back then I went to St. Jude Parish. That's where my kids went to school. And they went on to Roncalli High School. But grew up in South Bend. My dad worked at Notre Dame for 40 years. He ran the PR operation there.
I did not know that.
From 52 to 91, roughly the same as Father Hesburgh's tenure. And so I went to St. Joe High School, you know, went to Notre Dame.
You had to go to Notre Dame, right?
I went there because, little known secret, if you work at Notre Dame, your kids go there free. We
yes.
had six kids. So we got six kids through Notre Dame for free. But and
blood, sweat, and tears from your dad, right?
Yeah, that's right. So I moved down here. I spent 10 years in the TV business doing political reporting all over the Midwest and moved here to work for John Mutz when he was lieutenant governor, and then he lost Devin Bayh, and I got involved in corporate PR. Worked for 18 years at Simon and at Anthem.
Okay.
And then joined a Louisville PR firm here, and then 6 years ago joined Hirons, and I've been a senior vice president of Hirons for about 6 years now. And by the way, we lease our parking lot from St. Mary's Church. We're right next door.
There's always a Catholic tie-in, isn't there?
We contribute to Father Carlton's income every year by leasing the parking lot from him.
Now, you also are an author.
Yes.
I want to talk about that for 2 seconds here.
Well, I wrote a book.
Or 30 seconds or something.
I wrote a book called The Kimberlins Go to War, A Union Family in Copperhead Country. And it's about a southern Indiana family who were the first white settlers of what is now Scott County. And they sent 33 members of the family to fight for the Union in the midst of what was Copperhead Country. Everything south of Indianapolis was pretty much southern sympathizers for the most part. And it's a fascinating story. It was number one. Bestseller for the Indiana Historical Society for 2017, was a finalist for a National Independent Publishers Award. And we talked about Amazon a couple minutes ago. You can get it on Amazon. So you can buy a ton of books, and you can lay back on my pillow and read your book.
Oh my gosh!
How about that?
Boy, you are such a PR person. That's a really good tie in there. So, was there something about your upbringing that made you or opened your heart to a devotion to Mary, or had you had a devotion to Mary growing up?
Well, I guess as a child it was reluctant because, you know, you're a kid, you want to be outside playing all the time. And so my mom grew up in Fort Wayne, went to Central Catholic High School. She was one of 14 kids. And my dad grew up in Indianapolis, went to Our Lady of Lourdes and then Cathedral and then Notre Dame. And in fact, his brother was a Catholic priest here for many years, Tom Murphy, mm-hmm. who was at St. Lawrence, he was at St. Joan of Arc, and I think his last stop was St. John's.
Yeah, I remember him down at St. John's.
Yeah, and he was a former legislator
and
lawyer, and he was an interesting guy in his own right. So every May and every October, we would sit around the dinner table after dinner and say the rosary. And we weren't allowed to go outside and play, no matter how light it was outside or how nice, mm-hmm. until the rosary was done. And as you can imagine, as a little kid, there were times when I wanted to rush through it as fast as I could, you know, mm-hmm. so I get out and play. So that's why I say it was probably reluctant. It was probably more doing what my parents told me. Mm-hmm. But it kept me, it made me aware of Mary in the story of the, you know, the mysteries of the rosary and everything. And then I think I kind of, you know, lapsed through high school, so to speak. And then when I was at freshman Notre Dame, the first day I was there, every freshman got a freshman prayer book.
Mm-hmm.
And I was paging through it, and I found a prayer I'd never heard of before. It's called the Memorare.
I knew you were going to say that. I don't know why.
And I decided that day that I was going to say the Memorare every day. And I used to go to the grotto, you know, before mm-hmm. tests, like all Notre Dame students do,
mm-hmm.
and say the Memorare. And it became a daily habit. Not just a daily habit, I guess an episodic habit,
mm-hmm.
because, you know, when I was on the Notre Dame boxing team, I would say a prayer in the boxing ring as if Mary really cared who won the boxing match, right? But I was convinced that if I said a prayer in the boxing ring, I would be undefeated. And I would say it before important events. And then when I was in the TV business, every time before I'd write a story, I'd sit there and say the Memorare. And I still do that. Many times a day, quite frankly. So that was kind of the beginning of, I guess, a serious devotion to Mary.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not an expert on the Bible, but my non-Catholic friends to me say, what's the deal about Mary? Isn't she just getting in the way? You know, because most Protestants are taught about a personal relationship with God, which Catholics have too.
Sure. Absolutely.
But I, you know, and I don't know where this is in the Bible. Maybe I made it up, but my memory is that at one point, Jesus said to his disciples, if you want something, ask my mother. And I've always kind of held that in the back of my head. You know, Mary has has been deigned to have an official, so to speak, place in the intercession, you know, with God. And so I've frankly taken advantage of that.
Well, there's nothing wrong with that. We could talk all day about Mary, which we're going to talk some more about Mary. But if you're just joining us right now, we're talking with Mike Murphy, and he's going to talk to us about his pilgrimage to Fatima. So what prompted you to go to Fatima? I know you've been there more than once.
I've been there twice. First was in 2011. I was invited to go on a sailing trip from Cascais, which is an ancient port near Lisbon, to Southampton, England on a racing boat.
That sounds like fun.
And so when I got there, I thought, oh my gosh, Fatima is like an hour and a half away. So we got there a day or two early, so my brother and I drove up to Fatima. It was a very touristy visit, you mm-hmm. know, kind of in and out, you know, okay, this is where it is. You say a prayer at the covered area there. And I was impressed that how non-commercial it was.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I've been told, I've never been to Lourdes, but I've been told that Lourdes, you're kind of inundated with commercialism.
I've never been there either. Jim, you been there?
Nope.
But Fatima, the core of it, the whole plaza, which is almost a mile long, mm-hmm. is just completely non-commercial, which I was impressed with.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, outside the core area, there's the souvenir shops, but you have to cross the street and move away from it. And I was very impressed with that. And I was impressed with the sincerity of the pilgrims there. So, interestingly enough, when we went out on our trip, we encountered 41 and a half knot winds and 28-foot waves, and we had a 52-foot boat. And so I can tell you I spent a lot of time praying to Mary to make it through that trip. In fact, we had to turn around and have to go back. We couldn't make it to England. So so then, you know, I just continued my normal, you know, prayers and things like that. Then about in 2010, I kind of went through a rough time of life. I decided to go back to the rosary.
Mm-hmm.
And since then, I've tried, not every day. My intention is every day. It doesn't always happen. But I've tried to say a rosary every day, usually while I'm in the car, because I think that's kind of an efficient use of my time.
Mm-hmm.
And so I try to say the rosary every day. And so then I ended up coming back in 2017.
You know, I think it's really, my gosh, it's already time for a break. So we need to take a quick break, Mike. And thanks for listening to Catholic Radio. We'll be back for more Faith in Action in just a moment.
Before the sun rises, and long after it sets. While you're waiting in traffic or winding down from your day, when you need us, we're here. Catholic Radio Indy.
S-A-T-U-R-D-A-Y. Saturday became much the same as other days.
Saturday in the park. Saturday is a different kind of day, so start it off right with Catholic Radio Indy's Saturday morning lineup. Forming Faithful Families at 9, I Choose Life at 9:30, Catholic Jukebox Indiana at 10, The Catholic Cave at 11, and two episodes of Faith in Action at noon. Every Saturday, starting at 9 on Catholic Radio Indy.
Think of all the media our young people are exposed to today. MTV, movies, what passes for entertainment on TV, song lyrics that are questionable or worse. Where do they hear the message that it's okay to be chaste and modest? Or that it's not crazy to practice their faith, or to believe in a God who loves them and can forgive them no matter what they do? Catholic Radio is the answer. Be sure to tell your friends and relatives about Catholic Radio Indy.
Have you been married and have since divorced? Do you think your marital status prevents you from coming to church? Most Catholics and non-Catholics unfortunately have a lot of misconceptions about marriage, divorce, and remarriage. Pope Francis has recently encouraged all people with questions about marriage to make an appointment and talk with their parish priest. As Catholic priests, we look forward to the opportunity to help you on your journey through life. Please make an appointment to speak with the priest today. We are and will always be here for you.
If it wasn't for you all, I don't know what I would do.
Catholic Radio Indy.
What an absolute blessing you are.
Welcome back to Faith in Action. I'm Bridget Ayer. I'm here with my guest, Michael Murphy, who is talking about his pilgrimage to Fatima. And let's tell our viewers what Fatima is. Maybe they've heard of that.
Sure.
Maybe they forget what it is. Maybe we have non-Catholic Christians listening or just non-Christians listening.
Sure. Bridget, for many years, hosted the religion in the news segment on television, and you just referred to your viewers here.
Oh my goodness. We've just talked about that. Our listeners.
Right. Well, Fatima is a small town. It's a village about an hour and a half north of Lisbon, and it's easy access, interstate quality. It is a toll road, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
It costs a little bit of money to get there. But it's very accessible, very tourism accommodating, lots of hotels and that kind of thing to get to stay in. But Fatima is where Catholics believe that Mary appeared to three shepherd children every month for 6 months on the 13th of the month in 1917. And the children were Lucia, who was the oldest. She was about 10 years old. And then Francisco, her cousin, and Jacinta, her other cousin. And they both lived in a little village about 2 kilometers away from the town of Fatima itself. And there was a series of revelations that Mary granted the children. As you know, she almost always appears to children or people of a pure heart, so to speak, and this is certainly the case here. It's just simply an overpowering experience.
So what was the message that Mary shared with the children that she wanted us to know about?
Well, the two primary messages were pray for peace, and the other is pray for the conversion of sinners. She said people are falling into hell like snowflakes, primarily because of sins of the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
And she said it angered God, and that God was going to bring great punishment to earth. And again, this was in the middle of World War One.
Mm-hmm. 1917.
She said the war was going to end and the soldiers were going to come home, but if people did not change their ways, they'd be worse to come.
Mm-hmm.
And she basically foretold World War II. And she said it'd be another great war, but because of the children's devotion to her, Portugal would be spared. And as you know, Portugal was not part of World War II. It was a neutral country during World War II. And so there was a series of visits. And by the way, the Portuguese were not happy with it. Her parents tried to stop her from going to see Mary. She was put in prison. Lucia bore the brunt of it because she was the oldest child.
Mm-hmm.
She was put in prison for a while. She was interrogated severely by priests and bishops and tried to be convinced that she was, you know, being given messages by the devil and things like that, and she
mm-hmm.
would not recant.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually the bishop said, wait a minute, no matter how we try to trick her, the story stays the same. This
mm-hmm.
we think this is real. Mary, just hit a couple highlights. Mary, one of the things she did was she opened up hell for the children and showed them what it was like. And
I remember reading about
this. Can you imagine a 10-year-old and a 6-year-old and a 7-year-old seeing hell? I mean, it just would have been an incredible experience, impact. But maybe the most newsworthy, so to speak, value of notoriety is that Mary actually gave the children a letter to give to the Pope.
Mm.
And in that, it foretold many things. One of the things she said was, if the Pope will consecrate Russia, remember, this is the middle of the Bolshevik Revolution, too, okay?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
If the Pope will consecrate Russia to me, communism will end and there will be peace in the world. And so the kids took the letter, and it was there's a story in the letter. And the letter basically talked about, it was a kind of an allegorical vision where there was this mountain, and pilgrims were walking up this mountain, and there were horrible things happening all over the place. There were people dying, and there was, you know. When you got toward the top of the mountain, there was a vision of the Pope, and he was bleeding.
Mm-hmm.
And the Pope at the time thought the contents of the letter were so horrible that he wouldn't reveal it to anybody. And at one point, Lucia said, I don't think this should be revealed to anybody until 1960. And this was in 1917, 1918 mm-hmm. kind of time frame. And eventually, I think it was Pope Paul VI opened the letter and decided to keep it private.
Mm.
And it wasn't until Pope John Paul II was the assassination attempt that he said, go find me that letter. Go mm-hmm. get that letter out of the archives.
Let's see what happened.
And he was convinced that he was the Pope in the allegorical vision in the letter. And mm-hmm. so he took the bullet that was lodged in his body and had it welded into the crown of Mary at Fatima as wow. as a thank you to Mary for saving his life. So there was a Pope right after World War II that consecrated the world to Mary. Mm-hmm. But Lucia said, that's not what Mary said. Mm. You didn't do it right. Consecrate Russia to Mary. And so Russia was not consecrated to Mary until the late 1980s. And what happens? The Berlin Wall comes down. Russia, the Soviet Union, collapses within 2 years after Pope John Paul II consecrates Russia to Mary. It's pretty wild.
It is really wild. So what was it like for you to go and make this pilgrimage?
Well, it's very different. I decided I wanted to be there for the 100th anniversary. I'm a historian too, so part yeah. it was part faith and part history, being a witness to history. Mm-hmm. And I thought, with all due respect, it would be like the Catholic version of Woodstock. Mm-hmm. You know, I expected 500,000 people to be there,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
all with one theme.
That's awesome.
And I went there, and there were 200,000 people there.
Wow.
And it was a 3.5-hour mass. And I went there a day early, kind of like a political event. I kind
yeah.
of advanced
Get
the event.
Get the advanced guy, yeah.
And I didn't want to be down in the crowd because I'd just be a part of a mosh pit, you know. And so I found this tree up in a planter like 15 feet above the ground.
Zacchaeus?
off to the side. And I perched myself up there because I thought I'd get better pictures that way. And uh-huh. I got thrown out by the Portuguese police like 3 times, but every time I just wait till they turned their back and got distracted with something else, I'll go back to my tree, and eventually they realize, well, he's just a tourist, he's okay. Mm-hmm. So I got some great pictures from an elevated angle. But I think the overwhelming feeling was one of peace, number one, common, you know, being on the same team, so to speak,
mm-hmm.
and the idea that if these people can come together from all over the world, I mean, they were from over 100 countries. Every country you can imagine was represented, the African countries, the Asian countries, European, America. If these people can all come together in one purpose, so to speak, then we can, as long as we have people of goodwill, we can solve almost any problem between people around the world. And that's mm-hmm. one thing I think it's so easily forgotten in today's craziness. I walked the Sacra Rua, which is the path from the village to Fatima, which again is about 2 kilometers through the olive groves. And, you know, I visited the cave where the kids hung out when they shepherded their sheep. And they would hide in the cave, you know, when there were thunderstorms coming. They couldn't get home in time to get away from the lightning and the rain. And probably the most compelling spot was a well down behind Lucia's house where they would go when they wanted to avoid doing the chores their parents wanted them to do. They would hide by the well. And just like little kids, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that became also their place of refuge, because once they became famous, they were inundated with people wanting them to perform miracles and things like that and to pray for them. And they would go hide down there because, you know, as kids, it became overwhelming. I mean, people would grab at them, tear at their clothes and do those things. And they would hide down there. And that's where, in 2 years before, which I did not know until I went there, 2 years before, an angel appeared to them 3 times in 2015. And he called himself, sometimes he called himself the Angel of Portugal, and sometimes he called himself the Angel of Peace. But he told them to pray for peace, to pray for the conversion of sinners. And I don't know if you guys do this. I do it as part of, when I say the rosary, after each mystery, I say, oh, my Jesus, you know,
forgive us our sins.
Save us from the fires of hell.
Well, my mom always told me to do that. I didn't know why. Mm-hmm. It came from the Angel of Portugal at Fatima, told the kids to pray that.
Well, another big thing that happened there, which isn't the main point, but there was a miracle of the sun that people are
yes.
are aware of. But the big point of that was not so much the miracle of the sun, but was the message of peace and conversion. And what can we do, like, as people of faith? What were some of the things that we could do? I looked up a couple things in terms of, like, amending our life, you know, making acts of reparation, pray the rosary, frequent the sacraments. I mean, is there anything in particular that has changed your faith?
Well, certainly. First of all, there were 70,000 people that day, and it was captured on, we didn't have video back then, but it was captured on still photos. The photos are amazing of people watching the sun dance, and it really did happen. So there were believers, there are non-believers who said, oh my gosh, this really did happen. This is real. But, you know, faith, and I'm not, I'm the, I'm first of all, I'm the first one not to tell people how to live their faith, because I'm not great at it myself sometimes. So
we're all a work in progress,
we're
right?
Work in progress. But I will tell you that I think of living my faith primarily because of Fatima is doing simple things every day. Do one nice thing for people. When you say the rosary, you dedicate it to converting sinners and to helping get, you know, I say when I pray the rosary, this is for one sinner to get out of purgatory.
Mm-hmm.
And I say, Mary, your choice.
Yeah.
Right? And so I hope that helps because she asked us to do that.
Yeah, and I think about, you know, Jesus at Cana, you know, when Mary asked him, she said they have no wine. That's just the scriptural evidence of, you know, she did what he wasn't planning to do. He turned the water into wine.
That's right.
He performed his first miracle at her request. So, you know, as Catholics, you know, we do follow scripture and we do understand that Mary is very powerful and she has a role, and God had a plan and a purpose for her in helping us get to heaven.
That's right. And the lesson is that Mary is always there, and Mary knows you're going to screw up, right?
She's our mom, right?
She's going to hit you in the side of the head once in a while, right? But she knows you're trying, and I think if you are trying, I think that goes a long way. You know, there's in the Bible somewhere it says as difficult for a rich man to get into heaven as it is for a camel to get through the eye of a needle. It's the simple things about faith that get you to heaven. It's not being on a corporate board or driving a fancy car or having your private plane, right? It's
sure.
It's living the faith every day the way you should.
I don't think we can top that that call to action there, Mike. I want to give our listeners a webpage if they want to learn more about Fatima. It is www.ewtn.com/Fatima, and you can learn more about the 100-year anniversary of Fatima, the message, and everything you want to know about Fatima. We've been with our guest today, Mike Murphy, talking about his pilgrimage and his faith and devotion to Mary. Thanks, Mike, for being my guest.
Thanks for having me, Bridget and Jim. Thank you.
You have been listening to Faith in Action, the program that looks at how people put their faith into action in their everyday lives. Faith in Action is a presentation of Catholic Radio Indy. You can hear this episode of Faith in Action again or any past episode at CatholicRadioIndy.org. If you have a suggestion for a guest or topic for a future program, please call us at 317-870-8400 or email Jim at CatholicRadioIndy.org.